The opinions expressed in the following episode by Mr. Timothy Thume are not necessarily those of the management of this podcast, and that having been gotten out of the way, some of you out there who've already seen the blog posting for this one are probably thinking, okay, what the fuck? What does Lady Cop have to do with the usual October theme of Podcast X? To which I can only say, come on. You know, what? Cops aren't in league with Satan? That's right. It's Tribute to Satan Month.
Hail Satan!
Yeah, so like I was saying, these other podcasts, I mean, how come none of them talk about, like, rape or the tricock or anything?
They don't want to offend their constituency.
Yeah, their constituency. You know, these, I mean, except for maybe a handful, like, man, all these other comic podcasts, man, they're fucking boring. Their fucking constituents, as you say, are boring. They can all get... Oh, we're recording. Hey, it's Podcast X! I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. With me is...
Timmy Doom!
And like myself, Timmy Thume advocates rape talk in comics podcasts. As do all right-thinking people.
The opinions of Trenchcoat Mafia do not reflect
everybody
or hereby, thereby,
does this.
Or...
Hey, you're also a big DC, 70s DC fan, so how perfect.
Yeah.
We're reviewing this first issue, special issue 4.
All right, who is this? The Atom, the Superman,
no,
one of the Green Lanterns?
No, go down. Just go down a little bit.
Wait, Lady Cop. Who the hell?
Lady Cop, yeah. Go ahead, ask me what powers she has.
Yeah, what power does she... Oh, she has a billy club there, so she's got this magic club.
No, she's pretty much just the Lady Cop.
Wait, but she got super strength, like Wonder Woman or something.
No, she has the strength of a Lady Cop.
Why the hell are we reading this?
Because you challenged me to send you like a what the fuck comic, and this is how can you look at this and not have a reaction of what the fuck?
Wait a minute, Lady Cop.
Also, me. And
wait a minute.
Okay,
this is the 70. Oh, where to say this come out in 1975? Okay, the top five songs. Oh wait a minute. This ain't my show. The 1975.
I can't afford those big billboard books with the charts, man. Those are expensive. I can't do that.
Okay, then what? This thing called Google. Okay, but anyway,
I've heard of that. Look up.
It came out in 75, Lady Cop. This around the time that Angie Harmon or whoever that was who had the police woman show.
Angie Dickinson when she was hot.
Oh. Hmm. She's not hot anymore?
She's got to be like in her 60s, right?
Ooh. So, enough said. I'm thinking that this is a zeitgeist of that kind of thing where, Lady Cops, and Foxy Brown and all those other blaxploitation movies with the women cop.
The best of which, even though she wasn't a cop, was Coffee. Because that scene, the cat fight where the girl reaches into Coffee's hair and Coffee had put razor blades in her hair. Yeah.
Or what about the one where she brought the balls of this woman's boyfriend to her in a jar? Do you remember that one?
Oh, that sounds painful. No, I would remember that. That wasn't Coffee, was it?
No, but it was another...
I was going to say, all those old... whatever movie that is, I support, because I'm sure she showed her tits in any old 70s movie where Pam Grier shows those fucking humongous, immense titties. I support. Hey, how about, did you ever see Truck Turner?
No, with Isaac Hayes? I haven't seen it.
What's her name? Uhura was a pimptress.
And Nicolette Nichols?
She was a female pimp.
Oh, wow. I got... Okay, now we'll go check that out.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. first issue special was a series where, like, DC would publish, for lack of a better word, pilots for series, whether the series ever eventually got made or not. This is the same book that gave you such winners as the Green Team and Atlas and pretty much nothing else you would have heard of. The only pilot, so to speak, that made it was there was a New Gods issue, and they did indeed spin that off into a short-lived New Gods series.
Okay.
Yeah, Lady Cop, though, I can only think they were indeed thinking, hey, Policewoman is big. Let's do our own version of Policewoman, because there's no other fucking excuse for this horrible fucking comic. Look at her on the cover. Look at her. Look at her. She's hot.
She's wearing a skirt.
She shouldn't be hot. She's a lady cop.
You'll never see no girl this hot that got her hair flowing, makeup on.
First of all, they make the lady cops put their hair up. Look at her long blonde locks flowing down her back. What the fuck? And she's like in a pose, like, and she's got a really short skirt, and she's like holding the club in such a way you think she's going to use it on herself.
Meanwhile, above her, towering above her, is this big guy with a chain swinging around like he's about to bust her ass. And she looks like she's about to get her ass kicked because she's very dainty, very feminine looking.
Okay. Yes. Whereas in reality, most lady cops look like... Okay, do you remember Miss Hathaway from the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yeah. Ooh, that's cool. I was going to say most of them look like this big towering guy that has a chain swinging above his head.
Yes, they do. They look like that. They prefer the company of women. There are certain attributes of real lady cops that this lady cop does not share. Because you see this lady cop, you want to rape her. Speaking of rape talk in comics podcasts.
Only time I see a woman like this, like in a cop movie or in real life, with a cop uniform on, she's behind the desk at the precinct.
Yes, you know why? Because that's a... Okay, I'm not entirely, like, anti-women working, because okay, you're out of your parents' house, you got a few years maybe before you're going to find your husband, you got to make a living, so fine, you know, she can work the desk. I have no problem with females in, like, support roles for, like, men who do the real work.
Boom, that's mighty liberal of you.
Isn't it? But you don't make them cops. Look, okay, say, for example, you know, your girlfriend mouths off to you. You punch her in the face. You're going to work on her. You know, you're kicking her ass. She's screaming. Somebody calls the cops. And who shows up? Lady cop. How intimidated am I going to be? I'm like, well, what are you going to do? And then you beat the cops.
The lady cop in this comic, she does a lot.
Yeah, let's get to that. We have page one here, and wow.
It opens up messed up.
This is really fucked up, yeah. She's hot. The girl who will become lady cop is hiding under a bed. She apparently roomed with two other bitches. One is dead, and this guy here, apparently wearing a supervillain costume, and he's got, like...
No, it's cowboy boots.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. He's got...
All we could see, he could be a villain, but all we could see is the feet and legs of people.
The cowboy boots have, like, I don't know, these skull and crossbone things hanging off him, and he's got, like, striped circus pants. I don't know what's up with him. But anyway, he's killing this other chick, and we see her...
And she's saying, please... Please don't kill me too, trench coat. Please,
And I'm like Podcast X, the show unafraid to kill the bitches. No, actually, this dude says after the first one, chick. Oh, he's talking to the chick. Now see, he's polite. He doesn't say bitch. He says chick. After the first one, chick, the rest comes easy. Dropping one by one like cards. Plenty of cards. This is my deck.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, ooh. And he's to deal to the chicks I'm gonna meet. All aces of spades, and he's dropping another ace of spade card.
Okay, this is a real cock sucking bastard. The way you read it,
I like this guy.
He just killed two women and dropped them. Meanwhile, the lady cop is under the bed watching
in horror, her mouth wide open.
And I like that this card, compressed storytelling.
Really? Yeah.
The next scene, she's sitting on the bed.
Oh, I forgot to mention, he drops like aces of spade cards, playing cards, like next to his victims. Yeah. That's like his like trademark or whatever. I want to blame the writer. Let's not like review this and not give him all the blame. And I have no idea how you pronounce his name, Robert Coniger. He's written like a ton of shit. He's written like Sergeant Rock, like plenty of other things. He wrote that, and Tim, you'd remember, the Wonder Woman, where Wonder Woman was turned into a gorilla. That was also his fault.
Oh, okay, that was before my time, but God.
I said you'd remember that because I assumed you listened to an episode of Podcast X, but yes, apparently you did. Oh, I was going to say. But no, go ahead. I talk, right? The art's by John Rosenberger, who I never heard of, and it's inked by...
Your boy!
Or traced Vince by Coletta. Vince Coletta. Horrible, horrible tracer.
What are you telling...
Well, he is. I'm sorry, but you look at those.
Look at this good art. This is good for 70s. This is good art. At least
it's competent because whoever John Rosenberger is competent, but Coletta adds, he brings nothing to the table, and as opposed to an anchor like Terry Austin, this Coletta guy is a tracer.
I was fortunate enough to find an old door from the 60s drawn by Jack Kirby in a comic book, you know, bin because it was all water damaged. And, you know, usually Kirby art is all monsters. The people got, even the women have big, ugly faces.
Oh, now stop that. They're going to pretend you don't like Kirby.
But no, I was able to actually like this. This art was actually, you know, it was good.
Coletta,
he inked it and he made it look much more palatable.
He inks like a chick. His inks are all like subtle and delicate and shit. Whereas, like, Joe Sinnott inks like a manly man. He would apply, like, heavy, thick inks to Kirby's pencils, and they complemented what Kirby was doing himself perfectly. So, fuck Vinnie Coletta. I wonder if he's alive. I don't even know. But anyway.
All I know is that even Sue Storm looked like Kurt Douglas from Kirby.
I'll meet you halfway. Kirby did not draw the most attractive women.
Thank you.
It's funny about the water damage, because my best quarter bin find ever, because even I would occasionally go into the quarter bins before downloading, of course, was a water damaged copy of a Fantastic Four annual, and it was the one with the backup story where the The Silver Surfer turns Quasimodo, the living computer, into like a humanoid, and then he learns Quasimodo's evil, and then he turns him like into a washing machine. Oh no, he looked like a washing machine before he was human. Silver Surfer turns him into like a statue. That was pretty cool.
Okay, wow. Then that's cold-blooded too. But okay, I'll go back and find one of those. Okay, so you liked those stories back? You thought those stories were good in the 60s?
For the time, they were way good. They were way better than... Shit, DC was pumping out, like, for example, stories of Wonder Woman being turned into a gorilla. Or, I don't know, Lady Cop! But, yes, this Coniger guy is dead now, so he got what was coming to him, at least.
Oh, man, this story wasn't that bad. Okay, the cops are interviewing her after her friends got murdered. And he said, I know you had a terrible shock, but you're the only eyewitness. The sooner you tell us what happened, the faster. And basically, she said, how can I ever forget that I hid under a bed like a mouse terrified for its life while my roommates were murdered before my eyes?
She's stuttering like she's being written by Brian Bendis.
He does do that too. They won't even finish a sentence. I hate that when he does. Like, but I told you that. Listen, Iron Man. But I finished the fucking sentence before you had the other character interrupt.
See, and they do. Here's my thing. I know what he's doing. He's trying to. He thinks it's realistic, but all it does is like draw attention to it. Like, you might be able to do that if it was like a TV show or a movie, but in comics, it doesn't work. You're too aware that you're reading something.
Or it's okay if you do it once, but not every character, every scene, and all characters are not that insecure that they can't finish their sentences.
Hey, by the way, here goes a ha! That was funny. I didn't let you finish your sentence. We're all meta and shit. This policewoman here giving the chick, her name's Liza Warner, the blonde chick under the bed, is She's giving her a speech, and it's funny because this policewoman looks like Miss Hathaway. So there you go.
Yeah, she did. Now, this is a manly female officer. This is a real female officer here.
She's saying, wish we had more women like you applying for the police academy.
Hiding under the bed.
Yeah, only because she noticed, because she was hiding under the bed, that that killer had very distinctive boots. And this really, really impressed this policewoman way more than it should have. Yeah, it's called having eyes. Yeah, I
think. And not only that, if somebody has some tacky green pants and white boots with skulls on it, you're going to notice it.
Probably.
Okay, even if you're Stevie Wonder, you're going to notice that. But yet, she's a. You got the camera eye of a born police officer. Okay, is that a camera eye really that you notice? You have brown hair. You have photographic memory. You should be a cop. What the fuck?
I know what she's really thinking. You know, there's no hot chicks in the police department for me to seduce. I bet you I could bring out the lesbianism in this babe. Oh, yeah. Let's get her in uniform.
Mm. And she's vulnerable, too. I'm going to pray on her. Like, she's, you know, she's very vulnerable. I could pray on her. And she, look how she's standing above Liza Warner. So you're right.
Oh, that's right. Because Starhawk established as of the time of this recording, that, yes, lesbians are predatory like men. So there you go.
I wish we had more women like you applying for the police academy. The city would be a safer place to live in, because when people are getting attacked by muggers, you can hide under the dumpsters.
I was just thinking that's what you could always do, is hide and watch. She's having nightmares. Yeah, who cares? Then she's she's in the police academy. Okay.
Look what this office says, but go ahead if you want to read it.
Oh, I wasn't even going to read. I was going to point out here, because you mentioned in the Iron Man review that they don't have different complected, like, black characters. But here we do, because this guy looks like sort of gray over here, and then this black chick looks like brown. So there, ha. Huh?
Oh, it's a different shade. Oh, like a 1-inch shade of brown difference. Even though I'm thinking that she's not supposed to be black. She's like Latino. That's the only reason they have a different shade.
Oh, shit.
Look at her hair.
You know what? You're probably right.
Okay. And so he said, we got police officers of all colors. That's what the artist is trying to say. Even though there's one black cop, one female Latino, one white girl.
Well, surely you're not accusing the artist of tokenism.
No, of course not. Where do you ever see tokenism in entertainment?
Well, you see, it's funny. The original Star Trek. And also, I know you were being sarcastic. That's why, like, in South Park, they call the token black kid Token. That's his name.
Well, good. At least they're honest about it. I'm glad. Instead of just calling him Franklin or...
or Chuck. Right. At least they're even being tokenistic with the two chicks, white chicks. You have one who's blonde and one who's a brunette.
We got them all. Actually, that's the cop who recruited her. She's just trying to...
No, because this is the police academy. And notice that broad has titties. The lesbian chick was all flat.
She was flat. Yep. Straight flat. Yep. And look at what their instructor is saying. Recruits of the police academy. This weapon is to arrest, not to punish. Always remember, a clear conscience is the softest pillow. And that tells you here that this is in the DC universe.
This is not LA or Philadelphia, no.
Or New York.
Or New York.
40 shots. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, we're number one, speaking of Philadelphia. I think our cops shot this dude 80 something times. So hot, in your face, New York.
So continuing the instruction of what the instructor said, I thought was interesting. Oh yeah. This cop he's got a gun. Hopefully it's not loaded. Did you ever see that video of that FBI agent, who was in teaching a class or speaking in front of a class of children, like in a grade school, and he had a gun? He was like one of those drug officers.
Let me guess. It went off.
Yes, he shot himself in the foot.
Sorry.
And he said, what did he say? Oh, he was like, these guns are very dangerous. You know, y'all can't handle this. If you see a gun, you tell somebody like me, we know how to handle situations like this with a live gun. Then he shot himself right shortly after he said that. He shot himself in the leg.
But you know what? I do approve of these cops going to schools, talking about drugs, showing like samples, and because when you're a kid, you don't know about drugs, and these cops come in and tell you about all these cool drugs. They tell you what cool things happen when you take the different drugs, and you know, yeah, they do a lot to encourage drug use. So I'm all for that. And go ahead and lie and say that's not your exact reaction when you were a kid.
Anyway, continuing. Yeah, that's true. They probably wouldn't even know if half the kids wouldn't even know or be interested in it if they hadn't heard it from Officer Friendly. Okay. Ooh, you know what mushrooms can do? And I know somebody who sells mushrooms. My brother! And I go home and try them right away. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm just looking at this page here of all the training. This is all boring until the last panel. They're graduating, the class of cops are. They're outside, which I don't think that's accurate, first of all, but okay. Because they need for this guy to come running down this garden path in this park here or whatever. Wherever.
Okay, well, I do with the police, the dean of the college or whatever, or the, you know, whoever, the colonel, commissioner, whoever. Commissioner Gordon is saying, okay, now that you graduated with honor, it's time to protect the innocent from crime, corruption, drugs. The heart of this great city lies in your hands.
And this is when the guy comes running up. Lies! Lies! You ruined me when you flunked me out of the academy for being unfit! I'll show you how fit I am! And Lady Cop is like, he's flipped! Got to take that grenade away from him! Yeah, he's holding
he has
a grenade! What the?
And he's running with it. Too late. The grenade's live. Because I guess he pulled the pin off and he tossed it. But she catches it from his hand and tosses it in the trash bin. And it blows up and shoots the trash can in the air. And this panel of the trash can being exploded is like hot garbage. That's what it reminds me of. And that's exactly what this comic is.
It does make a sound effect. Blang!
And the cop and the dean or the head cop or whatever, welcome to the force. Well done, Officer Warner. Like, damn, this bitch, I mean, she couldn't just graduate normal. They had to go out with her.
There is nothing remotely realistic about that whole scene. But thank God the story's over because, oh my God, there's another story.
Poisoned love.
I thought the nightmare was over. Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, no, you should be happy because they feature you here, you and your girlfriend, on the rooftop of the... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's a rapist trying to attack a young girl.
The only reason I'm denying being this rapist is because this rapist has VD. Hey, whatever happened to VD? Like, in the 70s, all we heard about was VD, and now all we hear about is, like, herpes and AIDS.
Because anything that kills you straight out... is going to overshadow BD.
I guess, because I remember, like, the PSA announcements, like, in the 70s and shit.
BD! Oh, la, la, la. You remember that PSA?
I'm glad I don't. But I would think, like, stuff like that would intrigue, like, kids.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, good. Really? Okay. Oh, by the way, Courtney told me about this. You got to watch this. There's this short on YouTube from, like, 1960 or so called... Boys Beware, and it's like a Johnny palled around with this older male Fred, but what Johnny didn't know was that Fred was mentally ill, for you see Fred was a homosexual. It's all hilarious.
Well, was that the one where Fred has like a pencil thin mustache?
You know, there were a few Fred types in that that thing, and one of them may have had the Tony Stark mustache.
Okay. I'm thinking more of John Waters. Tony Stark has a cool mustache.
Oh, how come it's cool on Tony Stark?
He doesn't have a pencil thin mustache. He has the Magnum PI type.
No, he doesn't either. And in that Iron Man we reviewed, he had a pencil thin mustache and an ascot. And he palled around with Jarvis.
So, the girl, the guy is attacking the girl. She said, please don't. And the officer, lady cop, stops him. She gets in between.
Why is she on the roof of this building where this is going on?
That's true. That is true. Like, is that part of your patrol? I got to patrol the rooftops of all these tenements.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, what do you think of this line of dialogue here? Let the girl go. You're not in the jungle.
Yes, we are, baby. We're in a concrete jungle. Haven't you heard? And the girl says, I didn't think anybody could hear me. And the lady cop was thinking to herself, yeah, I was back here like fucking my other female cop friend. This is the only place we can
find. But what she thinks fast, Liza says, an anonymous caller did.
And the guy said, go ahead.
Oh, no,
I'm going to find that stoolie and wrap his chain around his tongue.
Okay. The bitch is crying. And look at how Liza is thrusting her titties out at the rapist.
Yes.
And I want to say the cops wear bulletproof vests. And even if a chick's rack, if she was a cop, would have to be really fucking huge. Well, like Pam Grier. For like you to get a sense that she has giant tits if she's wearing one of those bulky bulletproof vests. So this is some bullshit right here.
This chick here, she didn't wear anything but because when she sends the girl away, the guy, I guess one of his friends just happened to be on the roof too, and they attack the cop. They don't take her seriously at all.
And she's like yelling at them that the girl's underage. How does she even know that, first of all? Because she looks legal to me.
Well, this cop has been following that girl around for a long time. Don't you realize you can have the book thrown at you?
Oh, I just had a thought. Maybe they couldn't afford bulletproof vests for the cops, New York, back in the 70s, because New York did go like bankrupt at one point back then. So, okay, well, there you go. I'm going to give them some leeway here.
And the federal government didn't help New York. They let them drown. So, yes, because that was a city of scumbags then. Oh, anyway, this little girl is like, the cop, I mean, not little girl. They grab her and she ain't wearing a
Interesting Freudian slip there, though, because okay, dude, look at this there panel.
There ain't no bulletproof vest there.
There ain't no for bra sure. there.
And they're about to do like she's about to get raped. Okay, yeah. That is a very telling scene. Yeah, she's not wearing a bra. She's a police officer. Come on, baby. And she's going up against two thugs by herself. I don't see any gun around her waist.
Oh,
but
wow.
I guess she doesn't need one.
You know
we'll
what?
See.
Okay, if I am running the police department, I'm not letting lady cops carry guns. They wouldn't know what to do with them. You know, I mean, no. It'd be like Plan 9 from Outer Space type shit, where like that one cop actor in that movie was like using the gun to scratch his nose and adjust his hat and stuff. Uh-uh.
You're saying all these women are incompetent? They've been
trained. I'm saying that they're okay. Women's brains are smaller than men's brains.
Okay.
They also now that's a fact. It is also a fact that they do not work the same way that men's brains do, which is to say properly. Therefore, but anyway.
What about the fact that everybody says a woman is more mature than men and mature faster?
You know, it's weird. I actually have to admit they physically do mature like way fast now. You see like 8, 9, 10-year-old girls walking around with titties.
Yeah.
And that's why when it's like, you know, they're like, oh, that girl's underage that you just raped. How was I supposed to know?
So, okay, enough of your defense. You saved that for your defense lawyer. And, and Courtney's parents. And you just continue with the comic.
Well,
yeah,
Courtney's in Australia, so she's safe. Okay. Until I get, like, teleportation superpowers, that is. Oh, that'd be cool. I could, like, rape bitches in, like, every continent.
You know, there was a book called Tiger. Yeah, that's what it's called. Star is My Destination is the more known title. And that's in that book, everybody could teleport everywhere. And the main character, Gully Foyle, teleports into this black woman's house. She's, like, the female character in the story, and he rapes her because he was a criminal at the beginning of the story, and she can't go anywhere. I forgot why she couldn't go anywhere, but basically he's a teleporting rapist. So there you go.
Cool. Yeah, I never Alfred Bester, right? I never read it, but I've read nothing but good things about it, and that is a pretty cool scenario. Somebody should make a comic book out of that, so I actually would read it.
Rape is a cool scenario. They did do a comic book. There's like a graphic novel somewhere.
Oh, one of those. Oh, yeah. Pretentious DC sci-fi graphic. I forgot. Right.
Yeah, yes. And I couldn't get through that, but I got through the actual book. I read the book, but I didn't read.
That doesn't say much for the comic at all then.
So so they got her up against the wall. They like holding her down. They're about
to rape
her.
Look. The bitch, Liza, is Frenching this guy here.
Yeah. Well, he forces himself on her. And you're saying that's called Frenching, even though she could get his tongue off.
Yeah, she's. I think she is. She's getting into it, and she's. All right, you know what? I'm going to cite that scene in Twin Peaks: Fire Walk with Me, when like Bob has been raping Laura Palmer for years, and he comes in through her window, and you see she is enjoying it, even though she's being raped. Ha! Also in Cemetery Man, to cite another movie, the one chick tells Rupert Everett, "Oh, I had an experience because this chick was afraid to like fuck any dude, but finally like her boss rapes her and she tells him, "Oh, my boss raped me," and he said, "I'm sorry," and she's like, "Don't be, I liked it."
Okay, but movies, the thing about those
movies do not lie.
Then that's what I was going to say. They are movies. Yes, we know that movies tell the truth, as evidenced by Star Wars, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and Poltergeist. But not all movies are true. The Trenchcoat Mafia.
Those movies probably all actually happened. They just exaggerated the facts of things to make things more exciting. Like Chewbacca was probably just some dude in a bad toupee. Like, hey, we'll put hair all over him in the movie and make him like a space creature. Yeah. Oh, so anyway, she fights back. Of course.
And is this supposed to be a groin kick in the DC comic in the 70s?
Yeah, you don't get a good look at it, but yeah. Oh, there was a groin kick on the cover of a recent issue of Jack of Fables. I'm like, I can't, but wow, comics have come a really long way, I guess.
And now this is a nice move, too. She moves back and headbutts the guy who was behind her.
Ow!
He's taller.
Ooh, ow.
I don't dig gorillas either. And
what is it with Cottager and gorillas?
And she puts her hat on, and basically she arrested both guys. She doesn't have a gun. She doesn't have, what you call it, handcuffs or nothing. She just is like a...
Oh, yeah,
if you guys
right.
She should be happier in a cage.
Look, she does cuff them. They are cuffed here. I didn't even notice that, but yeah.
Oh, get cuffed together, okay. So she had it on the side, but still, they could have...
And also, yeah, that's bullshit. I don't think they're supposed to... Maybe she only had the one pair... Yeah, she probably only had the one pair of handcuffs, even though I think cops are supposed to carry at least a couple pair, but yeah.
It could have overpowered her. She doesn't have a gun, but okay.
She doesn't even have a bra!
And now the other cops are there. They just happen to got her back up there. I don't even see the radio. Where's her radio?
She really should not have gone into action there without backup. I'm sure, like procedure wise, like she should have waited for her backup to be on location. But so if they did rape her, it would have served her right.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Yeah.
here she is on the next page watching kids eating ice cream?
Yeah, well, first she's talking about how she's got to look for that girl because she wants to make sure the girl's okay, the girl who was almost assaulted.
I'm glad you brought me back to this page because I missed this line of dialogue. Because the guy's like yakking at her, one of the rapists. She's like, take Mr. Badmouth away and wash out his mouth with soap.
Yeah, that's really going to strike the fear in them. You can't bust me up for kissing a cop. Okay, they can't bust you for attempted rape of a cop. So she says, I should be getting combat pay on this beat. Okay, bitch, that's your job. This next page pissed me off about the kids eating ice cream. Okay, there's a couple of white kids there buying ice cream. There's one black girl. I guess she can't afford any. She's looking sad. And she says, she walks up to the black girl and buys her a double scoop of ice cream and gives it to her. The white savior, once again, in comic books.
And the moral of that scene is love the white man. If you're black and you're angry and you've been the victim of injustices, no. Love the white man. Because look, here, this saintly white woman bestows upon the blonde white woman, bestows upon this poor black girl
ice cream.
There you go.
She said, the little girl made me feel worthwhile. This little urchin black bitch made me feel worthwhile because I see that my life could be much, much worse.
Just noticed this. There was another really bad line here as she's gazing upon the black girl thinking, now that I'm a lesbian, I am looking at this young black girl who is wearing, you know, she is scantily clad because it's summer. I'm looking at her standing there and I'm thinking things I never thought before. And she's actually thinking in the comic, there's one in every crowd with eyes as big as empty saucers.
Yup, that is predatory language. And she said her kiss wiped out Mr. Bad's mouth. Oh, I guess so. That French kiss from the man was.
She was ramming her tongue down the little black girl's throat.
They didn't show that kiss, so we don't know how that kiss was. Oh my God, what is the writer trying to say here?
And notice that they gave the black girl chocolate ice cream.
Okay, and it like melds in all together. So you can't tell where it begins and where it ends. Like Wesley Snipes in the dark scene in the movie, you don't know where it ends and where it begins. That is so sad that they did. See, our people is only one shade of color in comic books, man. So this other lady, this Spanish person, they got to have them speaking Spanglish so we know that this is a black and Latino neighborhood. They said, oh, the hombre you arrested, he's very dangerous, I guess that's what she's saying.
I had another. When do you ever see fucking beat cops in neighborhoods like this? They don't send beat. You may as well send your cop with like a bullseye on their back. What the fuck?
It's what you call Hollywood. Okay. And not only that, she's kicking everybody's ass in the neighborhood. Okay. And there's a guy with a chain. He's watching her stalking the cop because I guess he's part of that gang and he has to get revenge. But now we go back to, we found the girl.
This must be a really small neighborhood because she found her within like a couple pages. And the Spanish broad, the young Spanish broad who was going to get raped is on the phone. She's, but Eddie, you said we'd be married. Eddie, don't you love me anymore? You just found out you have VD.
Then I must have it too. My daddy will kill me.
Good for her father, by the way. Slut.
And the girl sees the cops and runs away. And so she's still got to look for her. But she's stopped because another crime is in progress.
Because meanwhile, Liza was shouting at her, wait, I'll give you ice cream.
Some vanilla ice cream. And she says, okay, so this guy is trying to get away.
Wait. The chick is Spanish, so she'd probably buy her butter pecan.
So she says, this guy is trying to steal from a storekeeper, and the storekeeper is an idiot because this guy doesn't have any money in his hands. He doesn't have nothing. He tried to steal, I guess he tried to steal fruit from a grocer, and the grocer was putting his life on the line to stop this guy. Madre de Dios! It's a hold up. The grocer's been stabbed.
Hey, where's Vibe? Because I would just assume Vibe is from this neighborhood, and he would have saved the day already.
This is not that DC universe.
Okay. By the way, note that the guy who stabbed the store owner has purple pants. So either he's gamma irradiated or he's a monster.
And she tells the guy to drop the knife. Sure, Lady Cop, I'll drop it 6 inches inside your gut. Now I like that line.
That is pretty good, actually. You should. And he's yelling at her, and he's right. You should have stayed at home washing dishes or sewing a man's socks.
I like that. Whoever put you in skirts in the cop, whoever put skirts in the cops.
Hey, yeah, what the fuck? Wait. Whoever put skirts in the cops? Oh, skirts.
Or skirts.
Oh, yeah, that was archaic slang. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Slang for ladies. I skin you alive, chick, and use you to wipe my shoes. Now, you know, that's some awesome fucking language for this comic book. He's talking about taking her skin and using it as some kind of leather cleaner.
I'm too distracted here because in the first panel on this page, by the way, her hat can just not stay on her head, can it? But her face looks like it was drawn by John Buscema, so now I'm confused.
So she's uses some moves and takes the guy out, slams her elbow into his neck.
Now she's making out with the unconscious store owner.
No, actually, that's CPR, which I never heard somebody getting stabbed and needing CPR to revive them. Because if they stabbed in the lungs, if you're doing CPR, the air is just going to come right back out the penetration in the chest. But I don't see any blood anyway.
I have no idea where he's been stabbed, and thanks to the fucking comics code, there's no blood. So, yeah.
Well, maybe he had a heart attack. And this ain't CPR. You ain't supposed to grab somebody's top of their head like you kiss them in a lovely embrace.
Shouldn't she be holding his head back?
Exactly.
But
breathe.
Okay.
Breathe.
Stab wound was superficial. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt because all she's thinking is that he stopped breathing. But even so.
Yeah, maybe it was just he had some kind of coronary or heart, you know, problem.
But speaking of VD, the store owner might have, like, mouth herpes, and she's infecting herself here.
It was the 70s. So, oh, God, yeah, and nowadays they don't do that. No, if somebody is laying on the ground, especially a dirty Mexican, not being able to breathe.
Now, he could be Puerto Rican. Although, and this is a really – okay, maybe you could explain this to me. Why do Puerto Ricans not want to be called Mexican? Like, they get offended if somebody thinks they're Mexican. What's
because
the
they're
difference?
Not from Mexico.
But, what's the, but, like, okay, if you see an Asian person, do you know where the fuck they're from?
No, but they would be offended just because it's the same thing if you kept saying, I was from Florida and I'm from New York. Or if you keep calling me a Haitian American and I'm, you know, my descendants from Africa. You don't find any offense in that? What if somebody, okay, I don't know what your lineage is. If you were Irish and somebody kept calling you English, that your family's English, do you understand?
I mean, I get. Well, you just assumed that this guy was Mexican, though.
Because he is a dirty Mexican. It's a comic book. He can't be offended.
Okay, by the way, here's why he probably is Mexican. Because he's got, like, one of those mustaches.
Yes.
So he probably is. Okay. But see, they should have, like, drawn a sombrero or something on him so we would know for sure.
And they...
Oh, this panel's bad. I didn't notice her thought balloons. She's like, he looks unconscious, but he might just be taking a siesta. I hear these people are very lazy.
Ooh.
Oh, that was wrong. That should... Oh, that's actually not there at all. Okay, never mind.
Okay, all right. It said, after she revives the hold-up victim, and the guy on the scene, the paramedic, assures her, you saved the man's life, okay? And you're just grazed up a little bit, but she just has a little cut on her arm. But, yeah, okay, they're putting the guy in an ambulance these are the old ambulances that used to be a hearse, and they weren't ambulance really at all. They were just carted people to the hospital, and there weren't no paramedics. They couldn't do nothing for people back then. They just put your ass in a hearse that used to
go up. If you... If you Google Philadelphia plus, I guess, rescue, maybe, our ambulances here may as well be hearses.
Like, you'll be having a heart attack, and, like, the medics will show up, like, I don't know, a half hour later. Yeah, they're basically, they exist basically just to, you know, scoop up the dead people and take them away.
911 is a joke.
Still.
And
song is timeless.
Oh, and this guy says, "You sure don't sound like a weaker sex." That's only a fairy tale made up by men, even though, that's right, because women are proportionally as strong as men.
What? Oh, proportionately. But see, they're smaller than men. Therefore, what does that – it's like Peter Parker has the proportionate strength of a spider. Therefore, he's stronger. They have the proportionate strength of a female.
Now, check this out. Okay. She gets off of duty later on, meets up with her boyfriend, and he puts her in the same kind of embrace that she just had the Mexican grocer in, kissing her. Now, I'm surprised they had, like, tongue kissing and French kissing.
And you know, they got, look how wide open, like, his mouth is. They gotta be.
And check this out, at the beach. Okay, she's hanging out at the beach with her. All of a sudden, she's Gidget. Okay, and they are.
Well, she's got bigger tits than Gidget, but yeah.
And her boyfriend says, "Eliza, I'm tired of being kidded by my friends when I tell them you're a cop. Resign." But I just started hell. Now, how come she won't put up with the sexist attitude of the criminals, but she gonna put up with a sexist attitude from a man who's her boyfriend?
Because deep down, like all women, she wants the bad boys. She's turned on by the rapists. Her boyfriend does nothing for her. That was an easy one. Give me a hard one. Jeez.
Okay.
This reminds me of the beach scene in Painkiller Jane, that horrible comic I reviewed that one time, because this scene sucks wherever, at least in Painkiller Jane, they know what guys want to see in comics, and Jane, like, makes out immediately with this chick. As opposed to this scene, which just has seagulls flying around and nothing's going on.
I'm surprised you liked that. I thought, from that review of Painkiller Jane, I thought you liked that comic.
Yeah, well, no, because it had gratuitous nudity and lesbianism. That's what
I'm
saying.
Was the only reason you liked it? Oh.
Well, that's all. What else do you need?
Okay. All right, so continuing with the story here, she's kissing her boyfriend about the fuck, and all she could think of is, "I can't stop thinking about finding the killer of my roommates 24 hours a day."
Even now, and that panel does look like the cover of a romance comic. And there you go. It's the 70s, so the guy has sideburns.
Okay, so she found the girl at the...
Again!
She found the girl at the pier, like she's about to jump off the pier. She said, "It's not the end of the world, girl. Don't kill yourself."
She explains she has VD. This is... Okay, I got to read out loud.
Yes, yes.
Liza Warner is an expert in all things, I guess. She's giving a speech. VD's deceptive. Girls may not have symptoms. And here's where it just goes off the rails. But it's a secret destroyer, poisoning you like an underground river. It can cause blindness, insanity, death. Written by Jack Kirby, that panel.
And she says, "If not arrested in time." And she's also,
boo-hoo,
I think it's,
chick is.
Yes. And I also think she's not talking about VD. She's talking about crime or men or something. I think
she's angry about something.
Well, what should I do? Go to your family. Your parents will stand by you. Have you told them? I can't. My dad's a dock worker. He never looked at another woman after my mother died 10 years ago. I don't really see what that's got to do with a goddamn thing. But
I guess it's explaining why her mother's not in the picture. Okay. I'm thinking Liza is so pissed about this whole VD issue because the lesbian policewoman who recruited her both into the police force and into the world of lesbian sex probably infected Liza with something, because I don't think like lesbians were using like dental dams or like a saran wrap or whatever in these days. And
okay, gay men wasn't using no protection, so you know gay women wasn't thinking about that, even though I don't hear much in the gay woman community about rampant STDs, but never mind.
Well, women are it's their fucking okay, the vagina is it is a petri dish. Women are primarily responsible for the existence and the perpetuation of sexually transmitted diseases. Because all like a okay, say a guy is like gay on the down low, and then he like fucks a woman. The woman is going to fuck her husband and give him AIDS. She's going to fuck her lover and give him AIDS. Then her married lover is going to fuck his wife and give her AIDS.
Wait a minute.
See how it all goes through the woman.
Oh, so you can't blame the guys at all? Like the guy who, the great
guys
who's
are going to do what they're going to do. Bitches should be responsible.
The more you know, kids. That's been the PSA from.
Yeah.
Now, the girl.
Knowing is half the battle. Go, okay. Joe! Oh, wait, that's not part of every PSA.
So the macho dad, dock worker, shows up and he's like, Nina, what's going on? Papa, I got to tell you something. And I guess this one panel.
This is great.
No words.
This is great because I can just imagine. Daddy, I'm a slut and a whore, and I've been like fucking every Mexican in the neighborhood, including that store owner. You know, the one who also fucked mommy behind your back before she died.
And he hauls back and is about to hit her. Now, I don't understand this panel. The police officer, Liza, gets in between the man and his daughter, and in a panel that split.
My favorite image in the book, although from a storytelling perspective, this doesn't work at fucking all, because it's a rectangular panel. On the left side, Liza is protecting the girl, getting in between the father and her because the father has his fist raised to strike her. Then in the other panel, because like you said, it's split in two by this jagged gutter. Border, whatever the fuck it's called, and he is punching her because now she is in the path of his fist. He is. I like this. It looks like it hurt. It looks like she's really feeling that. Like maybe it's knocked a couple teeth out. And
no, it's disturbing to me because he punched this police officer in the face.
But here's why it doesn't work though. Because look at the left side of the second panel. If he's there in the corner punching her. Why is his torso also to the left?
Yes.
Of her? It doesn't.
And also,
work.
In the panel before he punches her, her hair is up with her hat on. In the panel where he punches her, her hair is down.
All I can see is she had it pinned up, and he knocked the pin right out of her hair.
But it doesn't matter. Well,
it doesn't matter. Her hat stays bad.
Her hat stays on, and under in the panel after that, we see his arm is still cocked back, and
I was going to say. Her, also earlier in the book, she could not keep that fucking hat on. She's getting punched in the face. It stays on. Okay, go on. I just wanted to make that point before I forgot.
I was saying, in the panels before and after this punch, her hair is up, and it doesn't seem that he's punched her in the panel at all. His hand is still cocked back like he's going to hit her. So this didn't happen.
It happened. I got it. Her lady cop does have a superpower. Her power is she can take a punch.
Then why is her hair still up after?
Because her superpower to take a punch is in effect, and her superpower to take a punch resets everything about her to the state it was in, including her hair before she was punched. That's all I got. I got nothing better.
I say it didn't happen, but it's very disturbing to me. I don't know why they put it in there, and I'm about to have a nightmare like she had at the beginning of this comic.
You know why? Because this bitch thinks she can be a cop. Like you said, she should be behind a desk.
I said that a woman like this would be behind a desk. I didn't say...
The endorsement of that point of view is implied. So what you're going to say?
Anyway, she protects Nina from her dad, and she says, Nina isn't an animal to be whipped. She's your flesh and blood. What would your wife do if she was here? Trying to call that card, out, pull that card.
And by the way, Nina, poor little innocent fucking slut whore Nina, is an animal to be whipped because A, she's a bitch, and B, she's a whore. She has chosen to whore around, so it's like, okay, if you're going to act like a whore, you know what? You can be treated like a whore. Pop her in the fucking face. Fuck you, lady cop, for getting in the way of that punch, whether it happens or not. And now now the dock worker is like crying and shit. Man, Liza really got to him, and of course with the Spanglish, you know, the mea culpa, cara, mea, whatever the fuck he's saying, which I think is I'm sorry or whatever. Although, good for Nina, she does say, "No, Papa, no, Papa, it's my fault." Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be saying that if he was knocking the shit out of her.
Well, shit, her father didn't fuck her and give her disease.
So he says he thanks her for saving her family. Thank you for reminding me I'm her father. He takes her, the daughter, away.
Another great line. After he's like, thank you, Lady Cop is like, it will be all right. The fire inside her will be put out.
Okay, that's a little bit too... Okay,
what kind of writing is this? Now I'm picturing like a flaming pussy. I mean, Jesus.
Ooh, a yeasty...
Yeah!
Okay, and knowing this after battle. So they walk away, and the guy who was stalking the lady cop earlier from the gang, he attacks her now. He wraps his chain around her wrist and tries to attack her. Says, "You're going to wind up in a river for busting up my pals. You chick in fuzz."
Okay, the archaic slang is even bugging me now because... Okay, so fuzz is actually not the cops. It's like the cop uniform.
Well, I was just thinking she didn't shave her top lip and her legs.
Well, there you go. Now, you see, you would think that Nina, being Mexican or whatever, like she'd be the one who would need to shave her top lip. But
she is a lady cop after all. Liza is. So
yeah, probably... that's right. She is a lesbian now. I almost forgot. Well, maybe she, just like she doesn't wear a bra, she doesn't wear panties, and she doesn't, like, shave down there. And this guy was, like, laying under a bed somewhere, and he got a good look at her lack of panties, and that's what he's talking about the fuzz.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. That was a long way to go for no real punchline, so let me just move on. She turns things around on him, except now they're both falling into the filthy, polluted river.
And this dumbass is talking about, "I can't swim. Don't let me drown. I can't swim." Okay, before you attack somebody by the fucking water, okay, by a dock, before you slam a cop in there and fight her underwater, make sure you can swim, asshole. And I thought that's how he got to this country anyway.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. And yeah, he might have been on a raft or something. I don't know.
And she says, "This chick can swim." He said, "Please don't let me go." Okay, how is this 105-pound woman carrying this big 200-something-pound man?
And she is. She's drawn like she's thin. She's not muscular or toned even. Yeah, this is bullshit. And how is she swimming? Wait, she's got him with her one arm, and the way she's angled, I'm not buying it. But okay.
So the cops are flow by, not the Coast Guard or nobody, but the police, and they pick them both up. Somehow they knew that that's where she was and that they both fell in the water. Somehow the cops are ever vigilant. They rescue both people.
And now we have seen transitions of the retarded. Because in one panel, she has been rescued. They're putting a blanket around her. The police boat dude is putting handcuffs on the guy. Literally the next panel, we have a caption, "Next day, .. And she's fine, and she's thinking, "Wonder if I'll ever find the killer in boots."
Now, I like this comic, and I can't wait to get the next issue where we find out, you know, who this killer in the boots was with the Ace of Spades cards killing women.
Oh, you really wanted to know, huh?
Yeah,
there was never another issue of this. Yeah, this is it.
But they put all that setup into the...
Yes, they did. Almost as if there was going... They expected this to be a hit and people to buy this issue and there was going to be a series.
Oh, man.
But no. Uh-uh.
I'm not going to find out what happened.
No, you never... sorry.
Maybe it was the Joker. I'm who the fuck... Okay.
Oh, I just remembered. Oh, this is too good to be true. You know what? You do get to find out what happened next.
Oh, really?
Decades, literally decades after the fact, there was an issue of Gail Simone's Atom series where it was revealed that, and I don't know if this is supposed to be Ivy City, but I think Liza Warner, this very character, has become like the police commissioner of Ivy City. And she got the juice to become commissioner because she solved the killer in Boots murders.
That tells you one thing. Gail Simone is a super geek.
Yes, I am embarrassed for her, for the fact that she felt the need to resolve this story.
Now, who are you more embarrassed for? For her or for you for knowing that she resolved
this story? I'm not embarrassed at all, because as part of the research I did in preparation for this show, I found that out, or I never would have known. I even downloaded the comic just to make sure it was actually true, and yeah.
You prepared for the show?
You know why? Because just like you, I wanted to know what happened next, even though it was a horrible story.
Good. Well, good. We found out the lady. Well, what you give this comic book? I give it, for the cheesy campiness, 7.5.
Well, much like that Iron Man comic, it kept me entertained because it was... It's the typical "it's so bad, it's good" thing, because some of those lines, like "the fire inside her will be put out," "VD is like a poisoned underground river," and all those lines, I got to give them some kind of credit. I'll give it a 5.5, because it still is not as good as that Iron Man with Rasputin.
What? That movie, that Iron Man was horrible. And which we didn't review, we didn't give that a score, but I gave that a 2 anyway. No, that didn't even be a 2, a 1.
Well, I gave it a 6. And I'm trying to be consistent. I'm giving this a 5.5.
Can I give negative numbers?
Although I will say that this comic does make a certain profession, if you will, look bad. It really does. And I just have to say, I am sure that rapists in general are not as stupid as the rapists in this comic book.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, everybody out there, if you want to hear reviews of more comics, shall we say, of this level of quality, go to thumcast.blogspot.com. They're certainly of this vintage, because Timmy Thum, I believe you specialize in retro comics.
Yes, retro. Meaning 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 2 months ago, last week.
That's right. If it came out last week, it's retro.
Yep.
I'm thinking. Do you have anybody you want to – this is great, because other podcasts do anything you want to plug. Anybody or anything you want to trash before we cut this one off?
No, I'm good. I mean, one trashing per every couple episodes is good. Oh, well, yeah, no. I said, fuck Bruce Rosenberger of Comics Cast. Who the fuck names their guy? Is it Comic Cast or Comics Cast? The fuck?
You were spell comics with a C. So close to not doing that, too.
That asshole.
Oh.
And I want to give a shout out to The Hypocrite's Hideout, too. Have a nice one.
I don't even know those guys, the Fixer or Mentallo or whatever they call themselves, so I can't say anything one way or the other. But wasn't he like the Fixer's partner in crime or something?
I don't know.
But once again, the opinions expressed by Mr. Thum.
What?
No, hey, here's one we can definitely agree on, though. What is it, Third Cast it's called?
The Third Cast, to try to be like around comics and fail.
Yeah, because like they started some
third rate cast.
Yeah, I do support your trashing of them, because like they started some shit they didn't have the balls to finish, and then the guy's going to make like some snarky comment on the air about Timmy Thum's not podcasting anymore, and I just want to say to that dude, I don't even know his name, third cast guy, fuck you, fuck your podcast, and Timmy Thum is once again podcasting, so fucking there in your fucking face.
www.thumcast.com.
And there you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Doomcast.blogspot.com, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I did that once when I was plugging Trekkie's blog, or he was plugging his own blog, which is funnier. He said Wrath of Trekkie, when it should be MC Trekkie. So I took like a sound bite. And he's like, go to MC Trekkie.
So you might have to do that. You might see, might just sound effed up. That's why I sound effed up, kids, when you just heard www.doomcastblogspot.com. Just so edit that in there. Oh, I'm down right now. I'm downloading the latest episode of Podcast X, which is, as we record this, Tank Girl is episode number 81.
Yeah, with Courtney Coombs. Courtney is very special. Hey, I just realized we PCX went international as of that episode. That's pretty cool.
Huh. You mean somebody Skyped you from another country, so therefore...
See, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound as cool.
Okay.
I guess that's about it. I can't think of anybody. Yeah, I can't think of anybody else I want to trash. And we are out of here.
Comic book haters, fuck you.
I'm taking a picture of you because you're a police officer who's supposed to enforce the law.
And no parking?
And you parked your police car in a place where the sign says no parking anytime. And you're not doing your job. You went into the Rite Aid.
I can go into the Rite Aid because if you don't know if I have a feminine problem, you don't know if I have any type of problem.
Right.
You don't know if I have my asthma, if I need my medicine, or anything like that. You don't know my business.
Right. So if you
have to go in the
Rite Aid
and I have my period,
right,
I can go in there. All right.
And you don't have to park properly. You're allowed to park.
I am parked properly.
But if the sign says no parking anytime,
a handicapped person could park in a no parking.
It says no parking anytime. Are you handicapped?
How do you know that? But I could be handicapped.
If you're handicapped, are you efficient at doing your job?
Because you're sitting there taping me.